Speakers who have challenged you for years come to you now on the series, The Chapel Platform, originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. These servants of God presented on The Chapel Platform have delivered biblical truth to help prepare Christians to serve the Lord. Dr. Bob Jones III introduced our speaker, a missionary from Singapore, Dr. Peter Ong. He delivered this sermon at a Bible conference service on Saturday morning, April 3, 1976. His text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. This message is the second of a two-part series titled, Doers of Discipleship, and here Dr. Ong preaches about the Apostle Peter.
I hope you folks have realized that the man who has been preaching to us on discipleship is perhaps more qualified to do that than any man I know in all the world. He is a disciple, and everything he's preached to you is characteristic of his own life. You who have not had the opportunity I've had to get to know him, to love him as I love him, to admire him and respect him as I do, would perhaps not be able to understand that what he tells you has come from deep within the experience of his life. He has found the pattern he has preached from the Word of God. He has practiced it. And his whole life and ministry is characterized by it. A more sincere and godly and humble servant of the Lord I've never met in my life. He's a man who carries a deep burden. A man whose efforts to reach lost people for Christ takes him to the slums and to the jungles and to the cities of Asia. And who has been used of God to effectively train many others, Asiatics, to go to their own people. And he has implanted in them a sense of his own vision and burden. He's a great, mighty man of God. And the breath and power of God is upon his life. And I hope you'll remember to pray for him as he goes back to Singapore. Please remember to pray for him, for his health, and for his leadership by the Holy Spirit. We've been privileged to have Dr. Ng here. He'll come again to preach to us.
Before I speak, I ought to say a few words of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord for His gracious kindness in bringing me all the way from Singapore, half across the world, to come to this place to minister the Word of God. And also for the kind invitation of Chancellor Bob Jones and President Bob Jones for this occasion to deliver the Word of God. It thrills my heart. I've never spoken to an audience such as this, so big and so wonderfully receptive to the Word of God. And I trust that as the Lord has given me His Word and all His teachings, that you will also imbibe the teachings as from Him. Another word of indebtedness I want to say is to the American people. I'm very grateful for what Americans have done to me. I was brought up in mission school, and I was brought to this country to study in the seminaries, and I was grateful to the fundamentalist separatist American Christians for bringing me to the stand and position of separation. Because I still remember when I was way back in Singapore and the Lord called me to full-time ministry, there was this Union Seminary president, a Yale University graduate, who offered to send me to Yale University for the Divinity School. And I believe if I had gone under the Nanking Foundation scholarship funds, I would have lost my faith and I would have lost my stand, and I would be today probably attacking Bob Jones University instead of upholding and supporting it. I'm so grateful, dearly beloved, and you have come to this Congress, this conference, you have come into the knowledge and stand of Bob Jones University is tremendous. And there are like precious men and women all around the world who are praying for this great institution, for Chancellor Bob Jones, for President Bob Jones, for the faculty and staff and the students. And we will continue to pray very much more. But also to thank the American people for giving me the Christian name Peter. And for interpreting my surname, NG, well, I'll tell you a little story and then I'll proceed on with the Word of God. It was in the year, in 1969 when I came over to the States, 68 it was, 58 rather. And it was my privilege and honor to be preaching my first sermon at the American Church at Barrington, New Jersey. And there was this pastor who had been a missionary to China. And his last name was Abbott, and he was called Paul Abbott. And you know, he had 8 children. And he said, I really love Chinese people because I've been to China as a missionary. And your name is very difficult to pronounce. NG, you know, etc. Two consonants thrown together is difficult. You know, why won't I give you a Christian name? Why won't you be named Peter? Well, I thought to myself, Peter. But I said, why Peter? Why not James and John or some other name? They have a good reason for that. He said, you know, I have been trying to name one of my children, my son says Peter. And each time a son was born, I said, Doctor, I'm going to name him Peter. He said, are you sure? You better think it twice. Because you'll be called Peter Abbott, Peter Abbott, Peter Rabbit, Peter Rabbit, Peter Rabbit. So he said, well, you should be named Peter. I said, that's great, because my Chinese nickname at home is fish, you know, and Peter was a fisherman and made a fisher of men. And I'm so glad for that. And that's how I got the name Peter. Thank God for that. And then it was one day at the Philadelphia street meeting where the seminary conducts this street gospel meeting, and I happened to be there. It was a wintry and snowing night. And I happened to be singing earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I thought nobody listened. I just sang and I just rejoiced in singing the gospel song. And after which I went around and started tracting. And I came to this elderly lady standing at the bus stop and gave her a tract. She said, Anshu, the young man who sang, well, I said, I was trying to sing. Said, that was a lovely song. I said, thank you. And what's your name? Well, I said, Peter. No, what's your last name? Well, I said, He said, How do you spell it? Well, I said, NG. I said, what does it mean? Well, NG, no. Well, I thought, well, this is a great occasion. Well, I must tell her the gospel. I said, NG could mean no good. I said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I went right down the line and preaching to her about the depravity of man and sinfulness of man. And no, before I went too far, she grabbed my hand again and says, Peter, NG with you must mean near God. I thought that was a terrific, that was the best interpretation to my name, NG. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the Americans who interpret it that way. And I trust by God's grace I will live that way. NG, near God, and no more no good. And I trust that you'll pray for me also likewise. Let's look to God in word of prayer. Lord, we look to thee this morning for thy Holy Spirit teaching. Open our hearts to thy word. Help thy unworthy, unprofitable servant. So unction and anoint him with the Holy Spirit power from above, that he may truly preach as a dying man to dying men in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless us together in thy name and for thy glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been speaking on the subject of discipleship. We talk about the principles, practices, and persons of discipleship. The day before yesterday, we dealt on the principles and practices of discipleship, centering around the word demands of discipleship, in obedience to the faith, to the Word, to the calling of God. and the demands of discipleship in sacrifice, wherein it may pertain to material possession, to family ties, and to life itself. And then, lastly, the demands of discipleship in service, bearing the cross, loving one another, and bearing fruit for His glory. And yesterday night, I brought to you the person of discipleship, Mary of Bethany. How in Luke chapter 10, we see her spirit of learning at the feet of Jesus, imbibing and taking in the water of life, the meat of life. And how we see in John chapter 11, first of all, the spirit of prayer. The prayerful spirit outpoured in tears and sobbing. And how the prayer of this woman moved the Jewish people to weep with her. And how he moved the Lord's heart. And then we got the shortest verse, Jesus wept. And how I believe through her prayerful intercession, the weeping and the pouring out of her heart and spirit before the Lord in brokenness and contrition, the Lord was moved not only to tears, but to raise Lazarus to life. And by the like token, we can pray to go likewise with all our heart, with all our being, be outpoured in this spiritual intercession. The God of heaven and earth will be touched. And the Lord will answer your prayer in regard to certain ones who may be dead in sin and trespasses and could be raised unto life eternal. And then we went on to see in John chapter 12 how the spirit of service and sacrifice was evidenced in this woman and how she came so contrasting to the other characters. By Lazarus was saved and found sitting. And Martha, who was serving with secondaries. But there was Mary at the feet of Jesus, taking the most precious possession she had, even the pound of the ointment of spikenard, and broke it, symbolical of the broken spirit and broken heart. And also of the brokenness and sorrow as she felt for the Lord, anoint him unto his burial. A terrific spiritual perception into the life of the Lord. When the disciples were oblivious to that. And how she poured and how she anointed the Lord. And how she untied and loosed her hair, which is the beauty, the glory of this woman, a lady at the feet of Jesus. And how the odor of this ointment spread round the house and filled it. And how the Lord commanded her that wherever the gospel is to be preached, that which she has done shall be told as a memorial unto Mary. How wonderful. What exemplary service and sacrifice we can find this woman. And I beseech you and I challenge you, dearly beloved, this morning, afresh, that you be like Mary, serving the Lord in sacrifice. And of course, the Jews, the critics, and that is true, dearly beloved, there will be those who attack you, there will be those who be energized, maneuvered and other machination of the evil one who will come and criticize you, will come attack you, but you give your heart to the Lord. You be steadfast and sure, not to be deterred in any way. And Mary was that kind. And Mary, the Lord came to her defense in the case of Luke chapter 10, in the case of John chapter 12. Vengeance is the Lord. The Lord will take care of it. And this morning, dearly beloved, I want to talk about the character of Peter. the person of discipleship. We talk about Mary, the introvert, the shy, recessive, reticent, the one quiet and humble, the one always waiting, the one who hardly speaks a word, the one who is always in the background, the one who is always unseen, unheard of, but quietly, in her own ways, she pleased the Lord. But now we come to see an extrovert, Peter, who was essentially, first and foremost, Simon, son of Jonas. The carnal, fleshly, earthy, earthbound, sensual Peter, son of Jonas. And what transformation that came upon him after the Holy Ghost fell upon him in fullness at Pentecost. And he was entirely changed from a reed to a rock, from the son of Jonas unto Peter the rock. And this is what we want to be, dearly beloved. And this morning, I would invite your attention to look into this man afresh. What kind of man, what kind of character he was. What kind of words, what kind of attitudes, what kind of actions. And bear him up to be what he was, son of Jonas, Simon. We read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, in the first instance, that Peter was a doubtful man. Peter was a doubtful man. Remember, dearly beloved, how when the Lord told the disciples to row across the lake, and there he was dismissing the crowd, and he went to the mountain to pray. And then at the night, he walked on the sea toward the disciples in the ship. And they thought they saw an apparition, they saw a spirit, and they were frightened. And the Lord says, be of good cheer, it is I. And Peter said, if it's thou, bid me come. And the Lord says, come. And you know, Peter stepped on the water, and Peter began to walk. My, tremendous, isn't it? To walk on the water, and to come approaching to the Lord. But then Peter began to turn his eyes from the Lord. That is the start of every fall, dearly beloved. If you turn your eyes from the Lord and unto man, if you turn your eyes from the Lord unto something else, that is just the beginning of the fall. Peter took his eyes off from the Lord, and he looked at the roaring waves, and he heard the noise, and she began to be fearful, and she began to sink. And the Lord had to rebuke him. Why did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. You know, dearly beloved, that was Peter. That was Peter. I wonder whether we are of that nature. I wonder whether we entertain any doubt. Doubt is the seed of ruin. That is true, dearly beloved. Don't you entertain any doubt. That's where the new evangelicals have gone all haywire. Because they begin to doubt the word of God. And that's how, dearly beloved, the devil also attacked. Way back in the Garden of Eden, wasn't he the one in the form of a serpent? Did God say so? Put a doubt injected in the mind. And dearly beloved, you must never entertain doubt upon God's word. God's word is eternal, forever settled in the heavens. God's word is worthy of your believing and your trust. The Lord says, heavens and earth may pass away, but no one jot, no one tittle shall pass away. It will all be fulfilled. We thank God that we still have the word of God. And let us believe in the word of God without doubting. Then we see on, dearly beloved, in chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. We see how Peter, son of Jonas, in his flesh and carnality, not only was he doubtful, but he was lacking in spiritual discernment and understanding. He had to be explained. And dearly beloved, if you are in that condition, if we are still in the flesh and in all carnality, we will never have the discernment from above. We will be led around in the wisdom of the flesh. We need to come back to the Lord in full repentance. If we have been doing things that Peter has been doing, trying to understand the eternal verities with these limited and finite minds, and trusting in own flesh to understand, no, you must ask the Spirit to teach you in all truth and to guide you in all direction. We see also Peter in chapter 19, verse 27, that Peter was a self-seeking, self-gaining disciple. He asked the Lord, what could he gain after having forsaken all? He was a calculating. He was a person that went after his own self-gain and profit. And are you the kind of person, dearly beloved, this morning? Maybe you are the type. And if you are in carnality, in the flesh, and sensual, you are likely to be doing what Peter did. We go on to see him, dearly beloved, as a disciple, impulsive, saying things before he thought, and coming to the Lord that way. We see him at the Mount Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, verse 6, how he was so enthralled and thrilled at the experience of being at the Mount with Jesus, with Elijah and Moses. How wonderful to be securely up here forever and ever. Why, Master, I will build you three tents, tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I suppose for three of us, we will be at the time door, be your guards, and we'll be forever with you. Not caring for the needs of the thousands and multitudinous souls on the plain. Impulsive, suggesting things without proper understanding of what he speaks. And this was Peter, dearly beloved. Peter, the impulsive one. We read in John chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9 how the Lord took the towel and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet to teach them the lesson of humility. And when he came to Peter, Peter refused him. And when the Lord says, if you refuse me to wash your feet, you have no part of me. And he said, yea, Lord, wash my head and my everything. That was the impulsiveness of this disciple. Peter was that kind. And then also we read later on in John chapter 21, how when the Lord came by on the waters, he jumped out of his boat and cast himself into the sea. That is typically Peter. Peter activated by the flesh. Peter always become impulsive and presumptuous. Peter is that kind of person. He is motivated by the flesh. And this is the kind of Peter. We go on to see, dearly beloved, in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 21 to 23, how he had the presumption to tell the Lord, rebuke him, when the Lord told him that he must die. And he says, this shall not be. And the Lord had to rebuke him back. Get thee behind me, Satan! Thou savorest not the things of God. And dearly beloved, this was essentially and characteristically Peter, Simon's son of Jonas. And then we go on to see him in Luke chapter 22 and verse 33. And how he was the Peter, son of Jonas, a boastful character. If anyone should betray thee, I will not. I will be faithful to you, even unto death. And that was Peter. Loud mouth, boastful, and presumptuous. And then we go on to see how Peter was the prayerless disciple. The Lord took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord says, you stay here and pray, watch and pray. But when the Lord came back for the first time, He found Simon, John, and James sleeping. And again he came, he found them sleeping. He told them, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. But Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, was overtaken by the flesh. He couldn't endure and he went on to sleep. Prayerless Peter. Even at a crucial hour when the Lord needed him to pray. That was Peter. And then when the disciples, and when Judas, the betrayer, came with a band of those high priest soldiers to take him, Peter was again showing his carnality. And he drew out his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. And the Lord says, he that useth the sword shall perish by the sword. You see, Peter was that kind. So earthy, so sensual, so carnal in the things of God. We're going to see, dearly beloved, that Peter then proved himself to be a coward. He followed the Lord afar off in Matthew chapter 16, 26, verse 58. He followed the Lord afar off. He was a coward. Then we're going to see how in Matthew 26, verse 69 to 75, how should he deny the Lord three times? Deny the Lord, his master. Denied him three times. And the Lord looked upon him. And he began to be reminded. And he wept bitterly. That was Peter, dearly beloved. Peter in the flesh. Peter in all carnality. Earthy, earthbound, sensual. Dull to spiritual sensitivity. And that was Peter. Son of Jonas. I wonder, dearly beloved, as you sit as where you are. Would you be like Peter? Are you like that way? And then we come on to see, dearly beloved, in John chapter 21. Dearly beloved, as we read there, my heart cried out. Here was Simon, son of Jonas, Peter. The Lord resurrected and showed himself to him. And yet it was Peter who said, I go fishing. I go fishing. And the disciples followed him. I wonder this morning, is there anyone who is saying this likewise? I'm fed up with the ministry. I'm fed up with the work of God. I go fishing. I return to my earthly job. I quit. Peter was on this point, at this point, trying to quit. How sad. How tragic could a man be than Peter? I go fishing. And the Lord had to come upon the scene again and remind him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? You have come to this Bible conference. You have been with the Lord walking. Even as Peter walked with the Lord, lived with him for 3 years. You sat under the ministry of God's word. Somehow your life direction has been turning. Are you saying, I go fishing? I go fishing. I return back from following the Lord. I have no faith, no courage, no conviction. Peter did that. And I believe the Lord is speaking to you if you are such a one like Peter, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these things? What is your answer? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Thou knowest I love you. I feel you. I love you as a friend. And he was telling the truth, dearly beloved, because he could not love the Lord. With all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength, he could not no more love the Lord as he was then. He was telling the truth, he could not love the Lord with the agape love. What a sad commentary. Are you saying the same thing? Yes, I love my Lord as a friend. I don't love you with all of my heart. The world is taking this first love from me. And you're saying, yes, Lord, I love you as a friend. The Lord says, feed my lambs. And the Lord asked him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee as a friend. The Lord says, feed my sheep. And the third time the Lord came, as you were to remind him and to strengthen him and reassure him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love thee. Feed my sheep. That was Peter. That was son of Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas, still in his flesh. Despite the fact that the Lord rose from the dead and showed it to him, despite the Lord was there in this Sea of Galilee, and yet he was so carnal and fleshly. And I thank God in his merciful dealing with each one of us. Each one of us have gone astray somehow or other in some degrees. But the Lord is ever long-suffering, merciful, and calling us back to him. And I believe you have come for this Bible conference for this purpose, that you will return to the Lord in all your love for him. But then we see that Simon, son of Jonas, wonderfully transformed into a mighty saint of God, filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God at Pentecost, and was entirely changed. And this is what we want to come to, dearly beloved. Simon, son of Jonas, the reed became the rock, the coward became the brave, the vacillating became the steady, the betrayer became the loyalist to the cause of God. We see him first and foremost after the endowment of the Holy Spirit of God in chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, that he was no more the coward, cringing, retreating person as he was, but he was the bold, brave, standing up for the Lord. We see him preaching to the crowds, and 3,000 were saved at the very occasion, and were baptized on the same day. That was Peter. Peter, with the endowment and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, became a mighty preacher of the Word of God. And that's what God is going to do to you. If you surrender your life to the Lord, if you have the fullness and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, you shall be raised as a preacher of the Word. God shall give you the strength as he gave to Peter. And not only to the crowds, dearly beloved, we read him in chapter 4, verse 8, that he preached to the Sanhedrin, and preached with all his heart. He was no more to be coward, we all must obey God rather than man. And he preached it all the same. No more retreating. And dearly beloved, this is wonderful, isn't it? This is wonderful. And not only was he mighty in the preaching of God's word to the salvation of many, many souls, but he was mighty in the works of God. We see Peter transformed. How he, Acts chapter 3, verse 7, he came to this temple of Jerusalem in his habit to pray. No more prayerless, but prayerful. And how he entered this temple, and this war, there was the man lame at the beautiful gate, and he says, in the name of Christ, he raised him up from his lameness. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. And that was Peter. He was able to raise the lame unto standing. And then we read how the Lord gave him a mighty power in dealing with Ananias and Sapphira in the discipline of the early church. And how these two liars to the Holy Ghost were struck dead on the spot. That was Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we see how even as he walked through the streets, even his very shadow cast healed the sick. And how Aeneas, we read here, in chapter 5 of Acts and chapter 9 how Ananias was healed because of Peter, full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And how wonderfully Dorcas, dead, was raised to life because he had the power of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, dearly beloved, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, if you are having the fullness of the Spirit, you shall do mighty things. And the Lord will enable you to so do. That was Peter. No more the weak. No more the oscillating and the vacillating vessel of the Lord. No more the impulsive, but full of the power of God. No more the power of the flesh to do great, mighty exploits for him. And that we see likely also, likewise in Acts chapter 8, how, dearly beloved, that he had a discernment to see this man, Simon the sorcerer, and rebuke him to his repentance. We thank God for such a man, Peter, who before the Pentecost was dull to the sensitivity of the Spirit of God. He was dull of understanding. But now he can perceive through the veil of the flesh the very motive of this man and rebuke him. We need to have the Spirit to discern as Peter had. And then, dearly beloved, we see in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem council how he stood up at the beginning of the council and he defended the faith. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will defend the faith. You will no more be compromising. You will no more be condoning the evils of compromises, unequal. You stand up by the grace of God and preach the whole counsel of God. And that should be, dearly beloved, Peter stood up and recounted his experience of the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles in the conversion of Cornelius' family and in the falling of the Holy Spirit upon this family. And read furthermore, dearly beloved, Peter became the humble, the teachable soul that he was never. Peter, reading Galatians chapter 2 verse 11, that Paul had to withstand him to the face because of his erroneous ways. And Peter received it humbly. The chief apostle, are you willing to receive correction? Peter was the kind of person, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are meek, you are lowly, even the Lord was. And Peter was the kind of person, dearly beloved. I wonder whether you are teachable, are you students of Bob Jones University? I believe you are. But let us have the Spirit of correction on the part of the teachers upon us. Let us have the teachable Spirit that we will be submissive to authority. And then we see him, dearly beloved, how he wrote the epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and how these wonderful books that were written to the strengthening and sustaining of saints in times of trials, the fiery trials of faith. Peter was a man, crude, coarse, unlearned, ignorant fisherman, turned to be a writer of the gospel, of the epistle of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. You know, God can transform you. God can change you. The Holy Spirit can give you the wisdom. The Lord God can use any one of us here, no matter how crude, unlearned, ignorant. God can use us as he has used Peter. But you and I need to be filled with the Spirit of God continually. And it was Peter who made 3 missionary journeys to Samaria and to other places, even to Babylon, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. And it was his self, Saint Peter, as tradition says, that when he was to be crucified, he counted himself not worthy to be crucified by the Lord, in the same way as the Lord was crucified. He requested he be crucified upside down. That was Peter. Dearly beloved, isn't a wonderful man? A man so steep in his own carnal, fleshly wisdom and ways, and yet can be changed and transformed into a mighty instrument for God. At the point of Pentecost, at the point of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, God can deal with us likewise. We read in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13 from the Word of God. Listen. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know, dearly beloved, we need to ask for the fullness of the Spirit of God. We need to have this flesh crucified. We need to mortify the members of the body. We need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to continue lust against the flesh. Or otherwise the flesh will lust against the Spirit. We need to die daily as Paul did. We need to be emptied ourselves. Negate ourselves of any ego or pride. We need to come empty and receiving the Holy Spirit of God in fullness. The Lord says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench Him not, but be filled continually. And I believe this morning, you've come here, maybe you're still in a carnal state. Maybe you're still fleshly. Maybe you are in a mind, a will, in emotions. Maybe somehow you're wrapped in this business of the flesh. I don't know what it is, but Lord God, Holy Spirit will reveal to you. But you need to come, confess your sin, repent of your sins. And ask God to take hold of your life. Once more be reconsecrated unto Him. And ask the Holy Spirit of God to come and lust against the flesh. And come and break the will, their flesh, the carnality, whatever it may be, in whatever ways of life, ask the Lord to come and fill you. And then you shall be a different person. And then, as Simon, son of Jonas, the reed is so shaky, unstable, you shall be turned unto the rock, even as Peter was turned, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, became a mighty preacher of the Word of God, became a great miracle doer, became one that was at the very heart of God, pleasing unto Him, discerning, defending the faith, humble, teachable, used of God, and the Lord can use you. I believe so. And these are the days when we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't believe in the speaking of tongues. I don't believe in this new Pentecostalism. I don't believe in all these things. No. But if you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, filled continually, the Lord shall use you mightily. And I believe you are going to be, as you come in the right spirit of repentance and confession of your sin and of your need of the filling of the Spirit of God continually, day by day, unto the day of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, we bless Thee, we praise Thee, we thank Thee for who Thou art and what Thou art doing. This morning, I pray for hearts and lives who are overcome with the flesh, who have been carnal, trusting their own strength to fulfill Thy will. Lord, make them see they are like Simon, son of Jonas. They need, O Lord, to repent and turn unto Thee, and to renounce the flesh, to crucify it. Yea, Lord, the members of the body must be mortified. They need to die to self daily. And, O Lord, may they come asking from Thee the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray, O Lord, as they cry out from their hearts this morning, yea, Lord, as they realize the condition as Simon, son of Jonas, was so carnal, earthly, sensual, lustful. Lord, hear the cry from their hearts. Pour out the Holy Spirit of God, even as they repent and confess their sin and the need of Thee. And fill each one of us, Lord, with the fullness of the Spirit of God. that we may have the power to live a victorious Christian life, that our lives may be ever more pleasing unto Thee. Lord, bless this congregation. And, O Lord, may we be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-taught people of God, to the glory and honor of Thy name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can have a copy of the message you've just heard on the chapel platform. Please send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Peter Ong. His last name is spelled N-G. That is N-G. Mention the title of the message, Doers of Discipleship, Part 2, and today's date. The Chapel Platform has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.